Welcome to the service. Tonight, as was announced this morning, is hymn sing, and we're going to be doing a good deal of singing, so invite everyone to open our hearts and to worship God from our hearts. And we'll open with three numbers in song, and the first one, let's see, how many Zion's praises do we actually have here? Oh, good, goodly number, good. There's, I think, some more coming. Oh, there's some in the back there on the on a chair. If you don't have one, like one, they're in the entryway, so help yourself. Let's turn to number 15 for an opening number. Being in Ukraine, sort of opened our eyes a little bit to, see, how would you say it? I guess we were more sympathetic with Kevin's having a difficulty with the language. First Sunday we were there, or basically every Sunday we were there, we could kind of hum along with the tune, but I thought surely we could kind of get the pronunciation sometimes, or by the partway through anyway, we'd learn the sounds and kind of at least sing the words, but interestingly, we'd think we'd have a sound, be able to sound out a word, and then we discover that in a song, it's pronounced differently, so sort of felt dazed after a while. We just kind of hummed along at best. This is one of the songs they sang quite a bit, and it's such a blessing just to pick up a book and be able to sing, understand what you're singing. I'll take two selections from you after this, from either of the three hymnals we're using. Number 15, To God Be the Glory.
The soul, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Transformed when Jesus we see.
14 in Zion's praises. Okay, number 14.
This is my Father's world, and to my listeners, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, hills and the wonders world. This is my Father's world, the birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily bright, declares their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, it shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh,
okay, I heard one on the ladies' side. Let's take that one next, but we'll take the other one later, okay? So keep that one in mind. What was over here?
549.
Number 549. Thank you.
I walk with my Savior each hour of the day. I walk in his presence each step of the way. He never has failed me, and true I shall be. I'm depending on Jesus. His presence surrounds me, his love leads me on. He's always beside me, I'm never alone. Until in his glory, his face I shall see. I never shall fail me.
This time we'll turn the time over to Joseph.
Good evening. Good to be here tonight. You know, I always loved hymn singing, and I know we all do. It's a wonderful time to gather together, and singing does a lot to draw our hearts toward God. I'd like to look at several instances of singing in the Bible and then draw some conclusions. And by the way, I know it's a bit odd, or I think it's a bit odd anyway, that I'm having devotions tonight, but incidentally, Andy and I had hymn singing last time. Last time we had hymn singing, we were together, and he pointed out the fact that he had devotions that time, so he thought it was my turn. So that's why this is. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Exodus 15 is the first one. It's going to look at these briefly and then draw some conclusions about that I think tie these together and what singing means to me and I'm sure what it means to all of us. And I would like, after I'm done here, to give you opportunity. I just grabbed several from the scriptures here. If there's an instance of singing in the Bible that you would like to us to think about, I'll give you that opportunity after I'm done here. So Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21. This is immediately after the triumph of God over the Egyptian forces when they were going to come over and annihilate the Israelites. And the Israelites had been helpless, had been trapped between the army of Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And God miraculously opened the sea up to them, and they crossed over on dry ground, and they watched as the Egyptian army was destroyed by the cataclysm of water pouring back down over the Egyptian forces. And in verse 20, it says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And she went on to sing this beautiful song. What was the instance? How would you categorize Miriam's song? What was it in relation to? It's a celebration, right? Celebration of God's victory. God has been victorious. And let's appraise him for what he's done. All right, so let's turn now to Matthew 26 and look at a few verses in 26 through 30. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And you can get the picture here of the disciples in the upper room drinking in Jesus' words. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew something was going to happen. And it felt like the walls were closing in on them a little bit. And they didn't know what was in store for them. But Jesus did. And he was trying to prepare them. And we have this momentous event. And at the end of it, they sung a hymn, it says. And then they went out. How would you categorize the circumstances surrounding this song? Preparation for difficulty, uncertain future, nobody knows, we don't know what's going to happen, maybe a sense of unease or just of terror. They knew something bad was brewing. And it's interesting that they sang a song at this time. The next one is found in 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm not going to read through this all, but you can take a look at the story. We've heard this several different times in church services in the last couple of years. But this is when Jehoshaphat and his people were being attacked by a huge force of enemies, and there was no hope for them. This is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14 through verse 25. And by numbers, everything was stacked against them. There was really no hope. It was they were going to be annihilated unless God stepped in and took care of them. And that was, God was their only hope. And it's interesting, they came up with, or God brought them a singular answer what they should do. And it talks about Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah here. He said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. It says, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And they took heart. And Jehoshaphat bowed and worshipped. And the next morning Jehoshaphat said this. He said, believe ye in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And so he brought them the word of faith. And then in verse 21, he said, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And so they went out, the strangest army you ever saw, with singers singing in the front of the army and singing praise to God. And as they went, it says that the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and they started fighting against each other. And by the time the Israelites, the army, got to where the enemy forces had been, all they found were dead bodies. Dead bodies and spoil everywhere. And God took care of them just as he had said. It wasn't their battle, it was God's. But it's interesting that they went out in faith, singing, and God took care of them. So the instances surrounding, the circumstances surrounding this song, you might say, they were faced with terrifying and overwhelming danger. Something that was just absolutely out of their control. They were terrified. Or they, by any natural reasoning, they would be terrified. And yet they praised God in that situation, and God took care of them. And one more, Acts 16. This is Paul and Silas. 16, verses 16 through 26. And we have the story of how Paul and Silas were walking along, and this damsel who was possessed with a devil, a spirit of divination, followed them and was calling out to them, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And she did this many days, it said. But finally Paul turned around, and he said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. But instead of rejoicing, the people who were the masters of this slave girl saw that their source of money was taken away, and they turned them into the magistrates, and they said that these people are troublemakers. And so Paul and Silas were taken and beaten horribly without a trial. They were cast into prison, put in the stocks, and left there. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So what were the circumstances of this song? Great trial. Great trial. Was God there in the situation? It was a horrible, or they could have viewed this as a horrible time. And maybe we're going through a really, really difficult time, and it seems like God is far away from us. Maybe we're doing the best we can. Maybe we've tried to do everything for God that we know. And yet, what do we have? We have trial, and it seems like it's all going the wrong way. Can we, like Paul and Silas, sing in that kind of a time? I don't know that there would have been an earthquake if there hadn't been a song. If the doors would have been opened if they hadn't sung. Songs are often written or inspired during times of great personal meaning for the authors. Song When Peace Like a River, for example, was written by a man on a ship when he arrived at the spot where his daughters had drowned in a shipwreck. And, you know, during those times of personal soul-searching and an outpouring of grief or of joy or of inspiration, They pen the words to the song. And for us, maybe who are going through maybe something not as much, but something similar, when we're feeling these emotions, that what they felt, we also feel. And it's an inspiration to us. And so the inspiration of those songs touches our emotions. And we're drawn by that message. And if the song was written by a man or a woman who had a heart longing after God, we also can identify with that. But one thing is universal about all the songs that we looked at here in the scripture. There's one thing that was, I think, universal, and that is they were all authentic. They were all real and honest. They were an authentic expression of praise or of worship or thanksgiving or of supplication, of prayer. There wasn't any sham. There wasn't any pretense. And you can't imagine that those singers out in front of that army were just terribly concerned that the vibrato was just right or that there was enough bass. Their hearts were pouring out to God. Song is a very powerful vehicle for teaching. And it's a really important, I think, that we teach our children to appreciate singing. But authenticity, honesty, is more to be valued than stylistic polish. And that's not saying that we should intentionally be mediocre in our singing so that we aren't proud, that we aren't tempted by pride. Intentional mediocrity is, as a method of avoiding pride, is not the answer. The answer is to have a heart that honestly and authentically reaches out to God in every circumstance, whether that's in joy, in grief, in worship, in helplessness, in contemplation. We should do our best to bring glory to God in every area of our lives, and singing is no exception. And that's one of the reasons we love to watch children sing, is because they sing with no thought of self. They just sing, and they love to sing. And that's, when we look at that, we say, oh, that's just beautiful. And I think God thinks the same way. Sing from your heart. Sing without fear, without embarrassment, without pretense, without pride. And God will be glorified as we reach out to him in honest, prayerful, praising song. So tonight as we sing, let's identify with the words that we sing with. And, you know, the beautiful thing about song is that so often the music just builds with the words. A good song, the music and the words tie together, and it lifts our hearts to God. So let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we come before you tonight to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the gift of singing. Lord, and I just pray that you would touch our hearts tonight as we reach out to you, and that you would fill our hearts with your Spirit. Lord, that we would come away from here with a greater appreciation for you and also a greater determination to follow you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that, Joseph. That was good and great encouragement, and I appreciate those scriptures as well. And there's another scripture that comes to my mind. One of the first ones that comes to my mind when thinking of songs is the one in Revelation 14, where it talks about they sung as it were a new song. It was something that not everybody understood, but the 144,000 are the ones that could sing it. Are we part of that group tonight? Let's take our Zion's praises again, sing number 53. After this song, the children will come forward and stand up front, and Stacy will sing with them. Song number 53, depending on the alto here to lead out the chorus there so you can be prepared.
God is great, God is good, God is merciful. Unto all who will call on his name, yesterday and today and forevermore, he abides and he's always the same. God is great, God is good, God is good, he is merciful, and he sees for the soul and the soul astray.
Stand here in the front.
Tonight, for something different, I'd like to ask all of Miss Benita's students to come up and help us.
Shine.
Thank you, children. Thank you, Stacy. That was an inspiration. I hope we can all say that. We're God's little people. Okay, now I said I'd give you an opportunity to share a song, and then I promptly left. Does anybody have a song that from the scriptures that is an inspiration to you? I won't give you a whole lot of time, but if there is somebody. John has one, but he's not going to say it. I can see it. It's all right. Okay, 501. I think that was the number that was given a while back. Is that right? Somebody give that in the back. Was it 501? All right. Number 501. After this song, we'll have a ladies group come up, led by Jessica.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand.
Song group was originally organized to sing at Stacy's farewell tomorrow night, but when Andy called, we added another song and another person. So the first song we're singing is As the Deer, and I picked it because I knew it was one of Stacy's favorites, and I love how it talks about our hearts longing for God, and he will be our strength and our shield.
Desire and I long to run.
Shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee and in thy name we go. So may God bless you, Stacy, as you trust in your shield and defender.
Thank you, girls. That was beautiful. We certainly do want to wish Stacy the best. It seems like Africa is a long way away. We certainly want to go with, wish you God's blessing as you go. We're going to miss your cheerful wave on the road, among a lot of other things. But, okay, does anybody have a selection from
713.
In the Zion's praises?
Yes.
712 and 13. Okay, let's start with 713. After this song, Lyle and Gwen's family will sing a song for us, or whatever they have prepared. You said 713? Okay. And then after that, Nathaniel, you can be prepared to share your history of a song after Lyle and Gwen. Maybe we'll take 7:12 and a little bit later. Okay, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all our sin. How shall the tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
We were over at Mom's tonight, or this afternoon, when Joseph texted me about having it tonight. And I was like, you know what? He said family. He didn't say how big the family can be or how small it's supposed to be. And they were over there. My wife was over there with us. And I said, I'm going to rope them in there with it, too. So anyways, that's why we said to sing all together here. Our first song that we're singing is, it's a new one to me. I didn't know it before. They knew it, and they introduced it to us. It's called Behold What Manner of Love the Father Has Given Unto Us. And in the chorus it says that we should be called the sons of God. And that is truly a wonderful blessing that God has bestowed upon us, the ability to be called the sons of God. And then the second song is, and we let the children choose kind of what they want to sing too a little bit. So the second song they wanted to choose, which is a little, man, we'll see how it goes, but it's The Lord is My Light and My Salvation. That is truly our, it's what the Lord is for us and to us. He is our light and He's our salvation. He shows us our path through life. And then we have one more after that. It's a short ending song, then we'll say something about that song when we get there.
Confident.
The last song, my wife wanted to say something about it.
It's just a short chorus that says, starts with, the title is They That Wait Upon the Lord. And it wasn't terribly long ago, I don't know, just several weeks ago, soon after we found out about Narcissa, that we have been rubbing her with her muscles, her sore, and been rubbing them with oils, and Lyle usually does that for her. And that evening he got a phone call, and so he was on the phone. And often when he's rubbing her muscles, well, he allows her to listen to either the Bible or else one of the books on LibriVox. Often it's Thornton Burgess, and so she enjoys that. And that evening, why, she couldn't have it. So she was moaning about that. And I told her, I said, well, maybe I just need to say some verses to you. And the first verse that the Lord brought to my mind was, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And as I was telling her that, it just struck me that all of a sudden, I told her, I said, you can claim that verse for you, that hopefully someday she can run and not be weary. And then we thought about this chorus, and so we started teaching the children this chorus, so it's kind of one that we've been singing the last while.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord.
Enjoyed it so this evening so much. The words that I would like to look at for a song tonight is number 72 in your Zion's Praises, and it's also in the church hymnal. Wonderful words of life. Our words carry enormous weight, more than we sometimes think. They often impact people for decades, providing the courage to press on or one more reason to give up. And this song is the reason I've chosen it. My first recollection of summer Bible school, this was the theme song in Pensacola, Florida. And I remember distinctly singing this song over and over and how beautiful it was. I thought the music was so good because of the, well, I was thoroughly enjoying summer Bible school, and a lot of the scenes there were that of just learning. It was so good. And we'll sing this, but let me just go over this. Philip Bliss is the writer of this song. Philip Bliss was born with a melody in his heart. We know of a lot of songs that he had written. We sing them a lot. Jesus Loves Even Me. Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And many others. He was walked along the same time that Dwight L. Moody was in his faithful work. And he was invited by Dwight L. Moody to sing as Dwight preached alongside Dwight. He turned that offer down, and as you know, Sankey took that responsibility up. But later, Mr. Bliss and Sankey worked together on putting a book together, as I understand. I was not able to find the exact setting, why he put this together as he did. I do know that Mr. Bliss ended up in a train wreck as they were crossing a train trestle. The trestle gave away, and the train plunged into the chasm below, and he died alongside of his wife in the flames as they burnt the train. But thinking of words, I just have a few thoughts here on this. There was a person in my life as a youth, he would use the words, let me go back. Some of this is kind of hard to say. Words have a huge impact with us. And as I think about this, words of life, what are we giving words of life to others for? So I have a few things that words were not life, and I have a few things of words that are life. As you clearly know, my father passed away when I was 9, but he called me the day before he passed away. And he said this, as he was dying, with the very limited ability to talk, he said, "I am so sorry for the way that I have lived. If God would perform a miracle," I remember that distinctly, "if God would perform a miracle, I will be your daddy and stay home. If God chooses not to, then I will go to be with Jesus." Those are huge words. The crescent, which way is it going to go? Then he said this, he followed it up, "Remember to always make your mother proud of you." I still use that. Those words, when I make decisions, and if you were to ask anyone in my team that works for me, they all know those words. As I hire, that's one of the distinct words when I make decisions. I keep that in mind. And later, those words have hugely impacted. Then later, thinking of the words of life, there were some more words given that could have impacted my life. There was a person in my life that said this. And maybe you can recall scenes like this in your life, but they don't have to affect you. Do you know where you were from? As a child, I remember thinking, "What do you mean?" And he said, "A snake laid an egg on a rock and the sun hatched you." Okay, thank you. But I will say that that has not affected me. It is what it is. Pass it on. I remember clearly a mentor in Pensacola, Florida. I was just a young Christian. And this mentor, a man I really looked up to, breathed into my heart words of life when he said, "How is your Christian life?" That is the very first time that someone had asked me that, as I can recall, after I gave my heart to Jesus. And thinking of the impact of that, it was a check. This man is concerned. I was 11 or 12 in that. He was instantly killed a number of years in the late 90s in a farm accident. I'll remember him through time as a man that walked carefully with words. And then I have my mother, who will often tell me, "Son, I'm mighty proud of you." And I love those words. She's left things like that on my voicemail when I couldn't get to the phone, and those have been fantastic. And then I have the words of my young bride. "I am praying for you. The Lord will give you much wisdom." Wow, I needed that as I'm making decisions. There is a quote right now in my office, which I didn't know this was to be until tonight. There is a quote in my office right now on the big board that says, "The words we speak become the house you live in." And I believe that with all my heart. And then Matthew chapter 12 says, Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And Jesus said those words. We've got to be very careful what we say. It will impact the young as they grow old. Let's sing this song together, Wonderful Words of Life. And maybe for a change of position, let's stand.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Thank you to Lyle and Gwen and Michael and Verna for those songs. It was very enjoyable. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That song holds a lot of good memories for me. And one of the nicest memories for me is singing that with my students in the big room in Romanian. I wonder how many of you remember a lot of the words in Romanian. A few? Yeah, those were good times. At least for me they were. All right, if you would turn with me to 416. We'll sing the song next. How Great Thou Art. And Nathaniel, really appreciated what you shared, too, about words. Words have weight, and sometimes we just say them without a whole lot of thought. It's important that we have words of life, not words of death or words of darkness. Number 416, after this song, Dan's men's group can come forward.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds my hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. I wonder and hear the birds. brand new, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son must bury, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great.
Singing two songs this evening. First one, For God So Loved Us, very familiar. When I think of singing with in a men's group, I think of Christoph Melchert singing in the church basement starting about 6 o'clock, singing till a little after 7. And in fact, I think this paper I have here was a worksheet from music class with Christoph in Bible school. Looks like he gave me an A, so not 100% sure on that, but I believe so. And he often sang the songs from Mennonite hymnal in the church basement, in the front room there, and I'm not sure why I do not own a Mennonite hymnal, but I don't. We don't. Even if we did, at this point, we couldn't find it. But anyway, so I think of those older songs and songs from 1600s through the 1800s, even I think some of the songs we sang with him were in the 1100s. And I have many good memories of that. So I just want to encourage us to continue singing some of those older songs as well.
For God so loved us, he sent the Savior. For God so loved us and loves me too. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praise.
praises. God loves his children, loves even me. He sent the Savior, the blessed Redeemer. He sent the Savior to set me free. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. Even me welcome, O word of mercy. Even me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. Glory and honor, O love eternal, to thee be given while life shall last. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. Give to our God immortal praise, mercy and truth are all his ways. Wonders of grace to God belong, repeat his mercies in your song. He built the earth, he said,
songs, brethren. Really appreciated that. A real blessing. Will, was that number 12? Okay. Let's sing number 12 here yet. And then, after this song, we had a, since Mark isn't here and there wasn't chorus practice, thought I might do something. Actually, it's more Joseph's idea than mine. I can't take credit for it. But how many of you former chorus members would be willing to come up and sing a couple familiar songs? Just raise your hand. We need quite a few of you, actually. Even be encouraged to come up, even the ones that are older than me. So let's have another raised hand and see how many we'd have here. Just don't be afraid. Yeah, well, you, just because you didn't raise your hand doesn't mean you couldn't. I think we'd have enough. We'll sing, and the current members too, of course. But we'll sing Yesu and Homeward Bound. I know maybe we won't sing it perfectly, but we sing it for the Lord, sing it from our hearts. That's what counts, and maybe for old time's sake as well. You can be prepared for that after this. Hymn number 12.
Oh, praise God from
sing a verse that there is beyond the azure blue. Everyone who sang previously under James is welcome to come.
There is beyond the azure blue,
loving puts us on our knees.